The first domestic vacuum cleaner was produced in 1905 by Walter Griffiths. Although it had many of the same features that you would recognize from today's vacuums, like a flexible hose with multiple swappable nozzles, these machines were actually mechanical and required the operator to hand crank a vacuum bellow. It was not long after the domestic vacuum's initial introduction to market that in 1908, James M. Spangler had the ingenious idea of providing suction via an electric fan. Although ingenious as it was, the vacuum remained a luxury item until after World War II. Today, they are an item found in every home and are often able to be purchased for less than the price of a new video game. In 1913, primitive domestic home refrigerators first hit the market in the form of modified ceramic ice boxes, and as early as 1918, we started to see something that resembled the modern fridge of today, with the Frigidaire, a self-contained electric fridge with the compressor unit built into the bottom. Even though three companies in the US had introduced electric stoves in 1908, penetration was rare due to the price of electricity. An electric stove was still considered a novelty in the 1920s, although by the 1930s they began to see a much greater market acceptance. Europe's first domestic dishwasher with an electric motor was invented and manufactured by Millais in 1929. The first automatic washing machine was brought to the domestic market in 1937 by Bendix Home Appliances, a subsidiary of Avco. And a year later in 1938, the electric clothes dryer hit the market. The microwave oven was actually a much later invention. Based on technology discovered during the radar research of World War II, most early microwave ovens were giant industrial units. As late as 1971, only about 1% of households had a microwave oven. It wasn't until the mid-80s that the small kitchen appliance we're so used to seeing now started to become commonplace in US households. Also commonplace now are microfiber towels, cloths, and cleaning mitts, which you might be surprised to discover only hit the domestic market in the 1990s. And the steam mop, which seems to make up the bulk of today's midday infomercials, has only been with us for the last 15 years, first hitting the domestic consumer market in 2004. That brings us to the inevitable question of the modern day. Are stay-at-home wives useless? Or do they provide some kind of benefit? Is there a real, legitimate reason that justifies the existence of the housewife? 100 years ago, maybe 120, before domestic fridges, when meals had to be cooked on wood-burning stoves, clothes and dishes both took hours to wash by hand, and there were no vacuum cleaners or electric steam mops? Sure. Back then, a housewife served a legitimate domestic function. I still wouldn't say it was comparable to a 12-hour day of dangerous manual labour, but for the sake of argument, sure. 100 years ago, the stay-at-home wife served some purpose. Today, not a fucking chance. Today we are living in a world where even the grocery shopping can be done online and delivered right to your front door for a price that ranges from $11 all the way down to free of charge depending on the size of your order. I am a bachelor. I work a 40-hour week. I come home from work and I cook and I clean for myself. In fact, I'd be willing to bet that I can cook better than any wife you put me up against. The very idea that a housewife is a real, legitimate job and contributes an equal value to the relationship and the domestic household in this day and age is beyond fucking laughable. Right now, I am actually earning slightly less than the average Australian wage.
But my wage gap.
And yet, on my single income, almost average wage, I am able to own a 3-bedroom house with 2 motorcycles in the garage and a car parked in the driveway. I mean, let's just consider the numbers and see what is hypothetically possible. My 40-hour-a-week job on an average Australian income currently pays all of my overheads. Mortgage, electricity, vehicle insurance, Netflix subscription, everything. Hypothetically, if I was married and there was a woman living here, a mystical unicorn woman that did actually contribute her fair share, all of those household living costs, which are completely covered by me now on an average wage, could effectively be cut in half and shared between us. based on the average Australian wage, we could both be working 20 hours a week and still maintain the same domestic quality of life that I am currently living. Well, actually, there are some consumable costs to an additional person living in the household. You know, maybe an extra $100 a week for things like food and toilet paper and what have you. I'll ignore that this additional $100 would be more than covered by the fact that cutting our hours in half would individually put us both into a lower taxable threshold. For the sake of this argument, I will add a few extra hours. So let's round it out and say that together, we could both be working 24 hours a week and maintain the exact same quality of life that I am currently living. At 8 hours a day, that is only a 3-day work week to maintain the same quality of life I currently have now working 5 days a week. Even if you had kids, you know, the ever-present trad cuck justification for sponsoring the stay-at-home wife, the parenting responsibilities could easily be shared. The father could work Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, the mother could work Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, with the kids going to group daycare once a week. If a woman was actually genuinely your equal partner in a relationship, then even on an average Australian wage, the addition of her equal contribution should objectively leave you much, much better off than you are currently living. If she actually put in her fair share, you could almost halve your weekly workload without sacrificing any standards of living, even with the burden of raising children. And yet, despite this, for some reason, I still have more money and more free leisure time to play video games, watch movies, catch up for drinks with friends, and ride motorcycles than any of my married friends do, especially those with a stay-at-home wife. You see, many of these guys end up having to work way more than 40 hours a week to support the family. In fact, one article I read stated that in Australia, men who support a stay-at-home wife were working 51 hours a week. Not 51 hours a week maximum, but 51 hours a week on average. That is 8.5 hours a day, 6 days a week, average. And then these poor guys, on their one day off a week, still have to do all the shit jobs around the house that their wife considers too hard. Mowing the lawn, washing the car, fixing the gutters, repainting the baby's room, whatever. If the workload were shared equally, 24 and 24 is 48 hours a week total. That is only 3 hours shy of what the average Australian man works trying to support a stay-at-home wife. And again, that 48 hours is going to leverage much lower taxes because both individual incomes will fall to a lower ATO tax bracket, meaning that despite the 3 hours a week difference, it will still be more in terms of real disposable income. With tiered marginal tax brackets, you would be $8,000 a year better off equally splitting the workload, even though you're collectively working 3 hours a week less. These numbers are clear as day, so why aren't more married couples coming to this arrangement of equal shared responsibility? Okay, let's just cut the shit. We all know exactly why, it's just uncouth to actually say it out loud. To any married men who are listening, just imagine how much better off your life would be if your wife wasn't such a lazy, useless, freeloading piece of shit. I know that sounds harsh, but the modern automation of domestic duties and these average wage working hours speak for themselves. Do not give me this shit about the need for stay-at-home wives. The numbers don't even add up. Unless you are doing a leisurely 3-day work week and sharing equal time with the kids, I don't want to hear about how men and women are equal partners who complement each other. It's fucking bullshit. Listen up, guys, and listen good. There is no nice way to say this, but if you honestly believe housewives or stay-at-home mothers are useful or necessary in this day and age, then you are a fucking stooge. You are a sucker. You have been sold a lemon. You've been duped. You've been lied to. You've been hoodwinked. You've bought the baloney, hook, line, and sinker. The supposed need for housewives is a straight-up fucking scam. And that is not a metaphor. It is actually a legitimate legitimate scam. You are being ripped off. You are working 51 hours a week and still ending up with less money in your pocket than if you were working half that time. And now you're trying to sell other men on the same bullshit traditionalist pyramid scheme that you've bought into? Stop it. Just stop. Your housewife scam is as obvious to me as emails about a Nigerian princess. You know where that kind of crap ultimately leads you? I have a friend who's a doctor. He earns over $200,000 a year, and yet his quality of life is no better than mine. He basically owns the same sized house in a similar neighborhood. He drives around in a 15-year-old SUV, certainly no Harley Davidsons hidden away in the garage. This guy is earning well over $100,000 a year more than what I make. So where is all the extra money going? Well, it's going to the ex-wife, it's going to child support, it's going to his current wife, it's going to his kids that are still in his current wife's care. By all accounts, this guy should have a fucking Ferrari in the driveway, but in terms of real-world quality of life, his standard of living is no better than an average guy like me. And here's the real kicker. He moved to get a better hospital placement, but his wife, despite wanting the extra money, refused to leave Melbourne. So they're currently living in separate cities. So on top of his own living costs in his current city, he is literally continuing to fund her completely separate, lavish lifestyle in Melbourne. Forget divorce, this guy is married and flipping every bill, and he is still lucky if he sees his kids once a month. All of this outgoing money is being redistributed to all of these women, but despite that, despite the fact that he's actually still married to this stay-at-home twat, he's still on his own cooking and cleaning for himself, just like I am. And in the meantime, he's not even getting laid. Like, I get laid more than him and I'm paying nothing. I mean, Jesus fucking Christ. You're talking over $100,000 difference in income. That is like $2,000 a week. If you're truly that desperate that you can't go without women in your life, can you even imagine the high-class escorts you could be hiring for $2,000 a week? It's unfucking believable, and that's to say nothing of the other domestic services like the maid you could hire to clean and maintain your house once or twice a week for far less. Supporting a wife, particularly a stay-at-home wife, is a bad fucking choice. As a man, it is just about the worst decision you could ever make. You are quite literally flushing your quality of life right down the toilet. A stay-at-home wife will contribute virtually nothing on top of what you are already doing as a bachelor. And half of your resources, half of the grueling hours you have to work each week, will be spent supporting her lazy, entitled ass. I am so goddamn sick of stupid, trad-cuck fraud victims trying to sell me the line that women aren't your enemy, we all just need to work together. Fuck that. Women had their chance, and every chance they got, they chose to collectively stab men in the back. Even the supposedly good traditionalist women. Nowhere along this entire spectrum are men and women ever equal partners. At every stage, marriage is a one-way relationship of domestic parasitism. At one end of the spectrum, you have men working 51 hours a week to support the family. And his wife's contribution? Provided she's not just reheating leftovers that night, she might spend an hour or two tops putting some chicken in the oven and throwing a few clothes in the automated washing machine. Basic domestic duties that I easily perform on top of my 40-hour work week now. In fact, I know a number of part-time working and stay-at-home mothers who have actually spent $2,000 of their husband's hard-earned money to buy a Thermomix because despite the fact that they have all day to sit around and do nothing, they are still too fucking lazy to cook a decent meal for their husband when he gets home from work. These Stockholm Syndrome trad cucks love to flaunt the fact that the traditional stay-at-home woman is less likely to pull the trapdoor lever of divorce on their husband. Well, congratulations, guys. You've obviously won the fucking jackpot, and your prize is lifelong slavery to support a lazy, freeloading bitch that doesn't even care enough to say thank you with an actual hand-prepared meal. Instead, you get gruel dished out of an automated pressure cooker that she used $2,000 of your money to buy. At the other end of the spectrum, you have working mothers. Working is in scare quotes because, according to that same news article, unlike their 51-hour-a-week male counterparts, these supposed breadwinning mothers are only averaging 35 hours a week. To put that into perspective, under Australian law, full-time gainful employment is considered to start at about 38 hours a week, and these fat, lazy slobs can't even manage that. Not only that, but in any relationship where the woman earns more than the man, the chances of her divorcing the guy goes up substantially, and when she does divorce her stay-at-home husband, she still takes the fucking kids with her. In case you haven't figured it out yet, guys, I'ma let you in on a little secret. The term primary caregiver does not actually mean primary caregiver, it means mother. It's just a politically correct euphemism to make it appear that the laws are gender neutral. But make no mistake, in the 4% of households that have a stay-at-home father who is raising the children, his parental contribution doesn't count for shit in the eyes of the family court system. The working mother still holds all of the legal power. And then, of course, you have the man in the middle, the everyman. You'd think he'd be able to manage the best of both worlds. You would think that he would be able to arrange a situation like I laid out, with he and his wife both putting in their fair share so they can enjoy a 3-day work week each and spend equal time raising the kids. I have never, ever seen that happen in real life. Far from optimizing their marital situation, every single one of my married friends in the middle seems to have ended up with the worst of both extremes, trapped between the devil of divorce and the deep blue sea of wage slavery. My married friends in the middle all work the same or more hours than I do, but despite their wives also working, you know, anywhere between 10 and 30 hours a week less than them, of course, they still never seem to have money to spare, mostly owing to their wives' frivolous spending habits on fancy clothes, shoes, jewelry, and multiple designer handbags. Need you be reminded that despite the 77 cents on the dollar earning gap that feminists constantly harp on about, these poor, oppressed women somehow still control over 80% of all consumer spending. And the entire time, these everymen in the middle seem to be constantly berated by their wives in equal measure for not going out and earning more money, whilst simultaneously not being around the house more to do chores. I recall one friend of mine who had his kitchen renovated. He called me up to come and help him move some of the bigger items stored in his shed back into the house. So there we were in the mid-afternoon heat of the Australian summer, carrying fridges and dining room tables around. Once the larger, heavier items were done, my friend decided that that was enough for the day. It was too hot and he didn't really need help moving the smaller cardboard boxes filled with cookbooks and cutlery. So we sat down on the back step of his house and cracked a beer to celebrate our afternoon's work. But of course, the wife starts complaining. "Why are you guys stopping? You've only brought half the stuff in." My friend eventually gave in to his nagging wife, and after the beer, we finished the job in the 38 degree Australian summer heat, bringing in all the packing boxes of kitchen gear. By this point, it was now late afternoon, around 4 o'clock. When the wife finally emerged from watching television in the air-conditioned master bedroom, she lost her shit. Wouldn't you know that by bringing in the rest of the packing boxes, like she demanded, we had made the newly renovated kitchen look messy, and she had girlfriends coming over in an hour to drink wine. Welcome to marriage, gentlemen, the supposedly equal partnership where men and women complement each other. I hope you enjoy your stay. Honestly, at this point, you would have to be straight up blind to overlook the state of sheer entitlement under which most women view the marriage contract. I mean, just look at this lazy, indignant cunt who left a comment on my last video lecturing men that they should be grateful that women are actually willing to lounge around the house all day pushing a few buttons on automated kitchen appliances instead of going off to work to pay their share of the living expenses. Bitch, are you kidding me? Do not be fooled, gentlemen. Despite all their claims, women, particularly traditionalist women like this, are absolutely not looking for any kind of equal relationship partner. They are looking for a welfare check, no different to any other jobless crack whore. Whether it's money from the government or it's money from an individual husband, they are nothing but lazy mooches angling for a free ride. And the statistics clearly show that when the conditions of that free ride change, they will more than happily hit the eject button labeled divorce and take half your property and your kids along with them. Now, the reaction of indignant women being called out on their domestic parasitism is unsurprising, but it just blows my mind how many men try to justify their own blatant exploitation. The numbers speak for themselves. Over the course of their marriage, these poor chumps have been bilked out of literally hundreds of thousands of dollars by lazy, freeloading con artist women who justified their existence by doing nothing more complicated than pressing the start button on automated white goods. As a man, if you can learn anything from the mistakes of others, don't make the mistake of turning into one of these sad, desperate trad cucks who willingly sold themselves out and now mope around the internet trying to justify their terrible life choices to other men who are frankly far too smart to fall for such an obvious scam.